This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And except Carol is not with us today. This is Tracy Gregoire hosting, and joining me as my co-host today is Steve Freeman from the Manchester Food Co-op. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear from you. The number again is 866-823-1077. We would also like to welcome our live audience here at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch at the Midtown Cafe and watch the show. You can also go to foodforthoughtnh.com. You can listen to replays of our show, and you can like us on Facebook at Food for Thought with Carol. So we want to get started right away with our show. We have a very, very, very busy show. We'll do some small talk afterwards, but in the studio, besides Steve Freeman with me, is Mayor Gatsas. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. So congratulations are in order.
Thank you.
Oh, we can't hear the mayor, so give us a minute. We're going to turn the mic on. Give me a minute. Sorry. So Steve, actually, try this one. There we go. Try that, mayor. Can we hear you now?
I'm here, so I guess you can hear me now.
We can hear you now. So again, congratulations are in order.
Well, no, I guess I just was notified that there is a recount in the process, and hopefully we can get that done quickly.
Because it was very, very close vote, apparently.
It was.
And we have, as usual, we have lunch being served to Mayor Gatsas. It's supposed to be food, Portland Pie Company, and we are hoping they come in any minute now so we can talk about some of the different things that they have. I know they have, everybody thinks they just have pizza, but I know
that
they have
a lot of pizzas named after different parts of the New England area. I think that's pretty unique.
Yeah, definitely. But they also, I've noticed that they have a lot more things besides pizza. They have some healthier choices too.
They've got healthy choices. Yeah. I hope they brought some this afternoon.
I think we all do on this show for sure. But I do want to say congratulations, Mr. Mayor, to your fourth term. That's a pretty good history. Pretty good record in this city, and keep on doing great things as you've been reelected to continue.
Well, we'll continue working at it, and certainly, as I said, there is a recount. I was just notified it just before I came over here, and hopefully we can get it done as soon as possible.
In your fourth term, if confirmed, I guess the response would be, do you have any new initiatives that you've been trying to unveil that have taken a little time to unleash, or are you just going to continue moving forward with progress as you have?
Well, we'll continue doing what we're doing, and certainly I think that downtown is looking really good, and we'll try and find some initiatives that we can work on down here and move forward. But I think that all in all, it's about education, it's about jobs, and it's about keeping taxes low.
I do say, I do find it amazing that those of us that live here in Manchester, I think some of us may take it for granted, but we have a truly unique economy in downtown Manchester. And if you look at the technology companies on the outskirts of downtown or on the perimeter of the airport, we're attracting talent from all over the country to come to Manchester, New Hampshire.
As I said last week, there was an article in New Hampshire Business Review. There was a company that was looking at us, Burlington, Vermont, Portland, Maine, and they chose Manchester because of the vibrancy downtown. So they're here now, and they're looking to hire more employees, and that's a good thing.
I think that's fantastic. I know you grew up in the city. How do you look at downtown today compared to in your youth? Because back then, everything moved sort of to the outskirts of South Willow, and that's happening.
Well, no, in my youth, it used to be Mondays and Thursdays, and you couldn't move downtown on Elm Street. And if you were fortunate enough to be shopping on a Monday night and they took your picture and it showed up in the Union Leader, you got a $50 gift card to go down and shop at some of the retail stores that were downtown. So when I was growing up, there was a lot of activity downtown Tuesdays and Thursdays. We all took the bus, came down, went to the Puritan first for some of their French fries and gravy, and it was a great time downtown.
So Portland Pie Company has joined us, and we're going to have them introduce themselves, and I'm going to hand over my mic for a minute since our other one isn't actually. Test. So introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from and what you brought for the mayor today.
All right. Well, my name's Bruce. I live over on Laurel Street in Manchester.
And you're the manager at Portland Pie Company,
the
right?
Assistant General Manager.
Okay.
And, you know, we brought him the harvest salad here. That comes with the roasted red pepper dressing here. And we also brought one of our seasonal specialty pizzas. It's called the Double Top Mountain. That one starts with a butternut squash base. And then you get brie cheese with a three cheese blend. And that has caramelized apples, candied walnuts, and a cranberry swirl.
It looks beautiful. It's very colorful, very fall
very
colors.
Yeah.
Almost like a salad on a pizza with all those vegetables.
I can smell the pumpkin.
That's our pumpkin dough. It's our seasonal dough right now.
You have pumpkin right into the dough?
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely interesting. And what is the salad that you brought there?
That one starts with spinach, and then we have butternut squash, roasted Brussels sprouts, some red bell peppers, bias cut sausage, and a marinated mozzarella.
Definitely interesting combinations.
That looks real interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a salad like that. Again, it's really, really colorful too. It's something about when we're looking at our food, we see it with our eyes first and kind of take it all in. So it's nice that it's very pretty. Everyone else is eating right now. So how is it, Mayor?
Salad is excellent. The feature is very, very good. The pumpkin dough is certainly interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of flavor to that one.
Do you guys go through a seasonal mix with your crust?
Yep, every season. So right now we're on our fall, so it's a pumpkin dough. We just previously had for the it was a pesto dough for the summer. It was basic, you know, they made it with basil and garlic and that olive oil. It's beautiful.
Do you have a peppermint dough coming up for Christmas?
That I can't tell you about. They usually keep it pretty close-knit until right around the time we get rid of pull it out. But
and who are they and where are they?
They are our corporate office over in Scarborough, Maine. They're probably, I don't know how many miles from the original store, but
about 15
so miles. So they're the creative house? That brings it down to each of the locations.
We have a sister company called It'll Be Pizza. That's our dough. So they come up with all the stuff with our corporate office, and then they send it to us. And then they have our kitchen managers from all the stores. We come up with a menu for it, and it works really well. So we got some pumpkin dough, and then this pizza was actually made by my kitchen manager here in Manchester. That's our recipe.
So you couldn't necessarily get this exact pizza at the Portland location?
Oh, you absolutely could.
Oh, yeah. So you guys create it, then it goes?
Yeah, we company
to all the locations. Oh, great. So that's great. They give you a little freedom at each of your locations?
Absolutely, yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to diving into that.
Salad's very, very good.
And what kind of a dressing is on that?
Well, it's right here. Oh. It's a roasted red pepper vinaigrette, I guess it would be called. It's a lot of garlic and it's beautiful. I love that dressing.
Yeah.
So what are some other things you guys put together other than pizzas and salads?
Well, we have homemade lasagna. We have a veggie option, a cheese option, and a meat option. Those are really good. I like eating those all the time.
And a ton of sandwiches, too.
A ton of sandwiches, yeah. We have all sorts of sandwiches. We usually have on our seasonal menu at least two options for sandwiches as well. Right now we have a veggie burger on. It's called the Clary Lake. It comes with a guacamole ranch dressing. It's wonderful.
Anything with guacamole is good.
Yeah.
Next week we'd like that one.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming over and bringing lunch to the mayor. We appreciate it. And
great job.
Yeah. Nice to meet you guys.
Have a wonderful day.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mayor, while you're eating there, I know it's always fun to talk and to eat. Tell us a little bit about your health journey. I know you've been trying to be good, and that's why we said, you know, bring some good healthy options. It's hard, especially when you're in the middle of a race and life is crazy and hectic. I know I struggle with that myself. Are you not to put you on the spot, are you being able to be good?
We've been very good. You know, we've maintained our weight, which is the important thing, and You know, we get to, last week we were out walking with the seniors around Doors Pond, so we get to do some walking, and knocking on the doors during the election time was very good for us. And
so it keeps you active, too.
Keeps us active, and we try and walk Elm Street every now and then to get to some of these great restaurants and get a salad. Again, Portland Pie does a great job, and the lunch here today was very, very good and very healthy.
Yeah, I'm going to dig in on a break, so I'm not chewing while I'm talking now.
Do you have any secrets? I imagine your lifestyle is very busy, that you can't plan your meals sort of thing. So have you learned any tricks so when you do eat out, how to maintain?
Order a salad and stay away from everything else.
That's pretty much my theory.
So salads like this are good because if you're eating salad all the time, they kind of get to be the same run-of-the-mill. So it's nice when you mix it up.
This is a different salad, and it's very good. It's tasty.
Yeah. And you got a little naughtiness in there with the sausage. So, again, everything in moderation. You can have a little bit of flavor. And
as long as we walk back up the stairs a couple of times, we'll be fine.
Right, exactly.
And you're absolutely right. I think we talk about it a lot on the show, that you can never feel guilty for gorging on greens because they just do your body good. And fill up on greens, and you don't have to worry about the sausage and cheese and dressing.
And there's like hardly any calories either, so you can just keep eating and eating and eating.
Have a slice of pizza as quick.
I'm going to. It's like my mouth is salivating right now. It really is beautiful. So it's got reds and oranges, and of course like the cheese and everything. But everything is like in a circle. I'm
it
trying to
like
describe it. It does. Yeah. It really looks like a
they
painting.
They did a great job. That's really a nice looking pie.
Looking at it, I would have never told you that the crust was pumpkin.
Interesting, you said, right?
And can you taste that in the crust?
Yes, you can.
Pumpkin's a really strong flavor. It's hard not to taste it. You mentioned that, you know, eating at the restaurants in Manchester, that's another a great thing. Kudos to everyone in this community. Manchester has
growing so much.
10 years ago, or I don't know what the number is, we used to go out of the city to eat a good meal. Now people are coming from Boston, Portland, Maine, Portsmouth to come to Manchester to eat.
It's a wonderful
that
thing.
That is phenomenal. It's awesome.
And I think the telling story is that when one closes, there's one that opens up right behind it.
Right away. Yep. They don't sit for very long.
No, they don't.
And I think you know as mayor and business savvy that some people, wow, there's a lot of turnover sometimes. Well, there's somebody right behind there that wants to take it over. There's not many vacant storefronts downtown. So if they can't survive, they drown and someone else comes in to take over. I think it's a wonderful part of our city that we've been able to maintain.
It is. It's great. And the quality of food downtown is really exceptional.
Yep.
If you just tuned in, this is Food for Thought. I'm Tracy Gregoire filling in for Carol, who just got back on a red eye last night from Cabo and is about to leave again on a cruise. We're in the studio with Steve Freeman as my co-host today, and we're having lunch with Mayor Gatsis. So, Mayor, last time I was on with you, we were talking a little bit about what you were doing with the fourth graders in Manchester with the Lego and First initiative. How is that going?
That started
any changes?
Last year, and this year, you know, we're trying to get the museum involved downstairs, the Manchester Historical Society downstairs, and try and get the kids to split their time between the Sea Science Museum and also the museum downstairs, the Historical Association, because they're going to be in the building. They're both have participated in not charging the children anything for admission. Dean Kamen is providing the busing. So, again, if we get the kids at the schools into the museum and also into the Lego, that's a great thing because a lot of these kids would never have an opportunity to ever be in either one of those two places. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you they've already started. The kids are excited. And I look forward to participating with one of the fourth grades over at the Sea Science Museum, because just watching them having fun is a great, great thing.
I think Dean said something that I know Dean said something that I'll never forget, and I've repeated it myself. You ask any fourth grader, seventh grader to name three engineers, scientists, architects, and they look at you like, who is that? Ask them to name three movie stars or basketball players, they'll tell you everything. So, great job attracting someone like bringing Dean Kamen into the city and instilling that scientific education into children, because our future needs more engineers and scientists.
Well, we started last year with three teams in the city that were participating in school for 90 minutes a week with the Lego competition. Mm-hmm. We now are up to seven. And next September, we're hoping we're going to get all 14 on board. He's gone out and raised about $450,000 to get it done. So that's a great thing.
It just started at such an early age. I know that my son absolutely would have been ready for something like that. And, you know, most of them start a little bit older ages. So it's great to start them really young while they're eager and excited about learning something new, so they kind of grow up with that passion for it, too.
Well, I think that the most important thing is that when we went to visit the schools, when they were putting their robots together, the kids were really excited. And this isn't like, you know, putting one kit with 20 kids. This is a kit for every six children or four children that participate on a team. So hopefully by the end of next year, we can have our own Manchester School District competition in the Lego League and let the 14 schools compete against each other, and that will be a great thing.
That's fantastic.
Is there anything that older kids maybe who have been through these programs can do to participate, to volunteer, to help?
Well, I can tell you that over at McLaughlin, they've initiated a STEAM Ahead program on their own at the junior high school. So schools are starting to see that this is catching on and kids want to participate. And there's nothing better in education than excited kids, because they will learn. Mm-hmm. I take them outside that setting of desks in a row and a teacher up front and give them something different on a project-based learning, and they move ahead. It's STEAM Ahead at West High School is doing great things, and kids are really excited about the learning experience there.
Are there any other plans to expand sort of the curriculum in that sort of science technology area?
Well, I think that it's important that we take a look at every educational opportunity that we have for children. And if we can start doing, you know, we went out and raised some money for scholarships so that the kids at West, if they took courses that were taught by a master's degree teacher, that they could have dual credits for both college and high school. And those courses would be paid for. So we've raised about $67,000 for those kids. So you can save yourself probably $30,000 in cost at the college level, because all those credits are transferable.
That's fantastic.
So that's a great thing for kids. And as soon as they start hearing that, I think that you're going to see a lot more momentum in that program.
And this is something that's an elective. Do they have to take a test to get into that class, or they just say, I'd like to do this?
It's an elective. And I think the most important thing that you would find that a lot of students that may not be thinking about college will take a course, understand that it's on a scholarship basis, and they get it paid for, and I think that's kind of ignites something in them to want to continue and taking more of those courses. And once they may have taken three or four, they may say, geez, I think I like this, maybe I should try to go to college. So it's a good thing for education, it's a great thing for students, and we are very fortunate that we have an awful lot of partners in this. I know that that Plymouth State College has said that they would have teachers go out and be able to get a master's degree at a cost of about $10,000. So that's a good thing. It's a special program that goes on here in the city of Manchester. So that's great.
And now on the opposite side of that, or the other side of that, with colleges, I have heard of MIT in particular, but I'm sure other colleges have that as well. On the application, there is actually a box that asks if you've participated in a FIRST program. And I have been told that if you have, your application goes right to the top. Well, so it helps from that perspective as well.
It does. And I think that some of the great things that are happening in these schools, we will continue working on and making sure that, as I said, every opportunity is available.
Well, I think it's great that that's being started at such a young age, like I said earlier.
I can never stress enough I tell all my friends and their children, English is great. Math, science is where I think the true genius lives, and get it into children as young as possible and keep it going that way.
So anything new after all of the excitement lately? Are you have any plans for vacation?
No plans for vacation. We've got a school board meeting next week. We're getting ready for that. So we're in the office on Wednesday and continue to do the work of the city, and we're not going anywhere on vacation. We're staying right here.
Still lots to do.
Still lots to do.
Anybody kicking tires around Manchester? You don't have to name a company, but like a significant employment force or a different type of retail or center?
I think with the project that's being talked about down at the old Sylvania plant, 300,000 square feet of retail space, I'm sure you're going to see some other companies looking to come to Manchester. There's that big company that is moving into a huge building at the airport. That's in Londonderry, not in the city, but I'm sure looking to hire an awful lot of people from the Manchester area. So there are things that are happening, maybe not necessarily right here in this community, because,
sure.
Well, there's not a lot of space that you can go.
Not in Manchester, no.
But in the surrounding areas, and certainly that'll help the workforce.
Well, and that's a great thing about Manchester. There's not a, I say this in a positive way, there's not a lot of opportunity because we're mostly occupied, and there's not much land that we can create to build more development.
You're right.
So it's redevelopment like South Willow Street. And 300,000 square feet, I'm going to take a guess, that's about half the size of the Mall of New Hampshire?
A third of the size? The Mall's about 1 million square feet.
Okay, wow. So that's a significant cultural destination. That's fantastic.
Well, Mayor, we know that you have to get out of here. You have places to be. We thank you for coming
Thanks for
in.
Lunch. It was great.
Excellent.
Enjoy some pizza when I'm gone.
Well, on this break. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Food for Thought. This is Tracy Gregoire in for Carol, and Steve Freeman is in with me today. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We're back, and you are listening to Food for Thought. With me today, I'm Tracy Gregoire, in for Carol, and with me is Steve Freeman, who is the Vice President and Treasurer of the Manchester Food Co-op. Thanks for coming in with me.
Always fun. Today. I love it here. Thank you.
Tell us about what's going on. Anything new with...
The Manchester Food Co-op? I'd love to tell you about it. We... flew out our candidate for a general manager last weekend. Had some of the board spent the afternoon with him. We looked at our secret site, which we hope to reveal soon. And the full board had dinner with our potential manager. And we followed up with a board meeting this Tuesday. And we're going to be putting together an offer letter. And that's something, hopefully, anybody who's listening as a co-op member, that's what they're waiting to hear, is because a manager means the store is right around the corner. So... It was a really exciting time for us to finally be at the point where, are we really talking to a potential candidate to run our store? This is just, it's like you can see the doors opening now.
And how long has this process been going on?
It was born in 2009. It really went sort of public 2011 for membership drive. We're about 1,066 member owners right now. 1,000 was our critical mass. So a solid 5 years. And most co-ops in America take between 7 and 10 years from... membership number one until the doors open.
Wow, that is quite the process. And our guest actually coming on after the top of the hour probably knows a lot about the processes there, because they are funny enough. Their name of their company is Thought for Food and Son, and we're Food for Thought. So we're going to be talking to them at about 1:05, they probably know a lot about. The whole process of going through stuff like that as well.
It sounds like they take it from inception to a tangible product to sell.
So looking forward to hearing from them. Since we jumped right into the show with the mayor, let's back up to our food holiday. So today is National Donuts Day.
I didn't know that. I didn't get the memo, and I didn't get any free donuts delivered either.
I know. Where
do we have any donut sponsors on this show?
So a little, no, we don't actually. We should have that so we can get some samples, right?
Well, Portland pie, I mean, it's a giant flat donut if we consider that.
punch a hole in the middle. So a little bit of trivia. So donuts apparently were, who knows when they were originally. I read a lot of different stories about when they're originally created, but the first donut making machine was actually produced in 1920 in New York City by Adolph Levitt. And he produced it. Somebody asked him to make something like that so he had a bakery so that just kind of get the process going. And another little tidbit, this is hard for me to actually say out loud without laughing, because, so the French version of the donut hole is actually called pet donon. Now, I don't know if I'm saying that right. And that translates into nun's fart.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
So I wonder if the first donut, Dunkin' Donuts got their name from that. It had a handle on the donut. So you'd grab that handle
Oh, to dunk it?
And you could dunk your whole donut in your coffee.
I don't recall ever seeing that handle on the donut.
I remember as a kid, that I was like, that was the weird donut.
So actually, Alan from Thought for Food and Son, they're sitting here in the studio waiting to come on with us in a bit, handed me a little tidbit here. It says, did you know, 1917 in France, Salvation Army volunteer Helen Purviance made the first donuts for homesick USA soldiers. The donuts became a symbol of the spirit of the Salvation Army's work to ease the hardship of World War I soldiers on the front line. And I when I was reading this morning, I did read a little bit about that. That was the first time that the kind of became the symbol and everything. But it was even back further than that. I read a story about a mother making them on a ship for sailors, going away to have some sustenance while they were out, and had something to do with the actual, that it was, she would make the dough not in the center, and she would actually put nuts, different kinds of nuts, in the middle, and that's that they think that might be like the first where the term donuts came from. It actually had nuts in the middle.
I like that this little history lesson I'm gaining on the donut. I'd like to encourage the local donut companies to give our veterans a free donut on Veterans Day, because it was created to ease the pain and homesickness of American soldiers. I think we should carry that tradition
forward. I think you should start that process going. You should
knock on all the doors. Because it's Veterans Day next week. Perfect timing.
Give them all a free donut.
Absolutely.
So
it's cheaper than healthcare, isn't it?
Yeah, right. but I don't know, the donut thing might not be might help with the healthcare problem.
I think a lot of veterans would be very grateful to get a donut.
So one more little tip about donuts. It was originally called an Olykoek, OlyKoeks, Olykoeks.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that right, and it's translates to oily cakes.
Which they were, because they were fried.
For some reason, that doesn't sound near as appealing anymore, does it?
No, but that's what gives them their flavor, is that saturation in the frying oil.
So I have to tell you a little bit of something I did last night. So before we go out, I did something really fun last night that I've never done before. I went to up in Moultonboro, the Bob House restaurant, and did one of those paint and pour things where you drink wine and paint a painting.
Yes.
So much fun.
Did you bring a picture of what you completed?
I did. I'll have to show it to
I'd
you.
I'd like to see it.
Honestly, I was kind of artistic in school, and I thought that it would be a little better than it was, but I guess since I was in high school, I guess I did pretty good.
Or maybe more pouring than painting.
Actually, I was pretty good. I was pretty good. we are going to go for a short break. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol. I'm Tracy Gregoire in for Carol today, and joining me is Steve Freeman, and we will be right back.